Welcome to eClad Chat. eClad Chat. Streaming live to you from eClad's hidden gem in Midtown Manhattan. eClad Chat is down-to-earth broadcasting on big city events and the events industry, as well as fashion, jewelry, accessories, and lifestyle coverage in an intimate NYC way. Join us each and every Wednesday with host Casey Benane as we chat up industry happenings, industry news, and perform live interviews with industry talents here on Blog Talk Radio at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Interested in contacting us or interested in attending one of our live shows? Email us at y-cladchat@y-clad.com. eClad Chat begins in 3, 2, 1.
Hello, everyone. I am Casey Benane.
And I'm Caitlin Burr.
And welcome to eClad Chat, where we chat up big city events, fill you in on industry news, keep you in the know with fashion and style, with a focus on jewels and accessories, touch on lifestyle education, and keep you abreast of industry content and information that will develop both your personal and professional lives. On today's show, we have our fashion expert, who's here every second Wednesday of every month, Shetanya Ami. And so we will give you a little bit more information on what we're going to be talking about. But for right now, we're going to jump right into the promotions and information for the week.
Yes. So for eClad's Hidden Gem, we have a promotion for the month of July, and it is 15% off your total venue rental at eClad's Hidden Gem. And so it's a great space. There's a co-working space if you are an entrepreneur, you know, want an office to run your business out of.
Yeah.
And so you can contact us for more information about that. But then there's also, you know, bridal showers.
You name it.
Yes, everything. Baby showers, fashion events, beauty events. Basically, it's a great space for anything if you want something in Manhattan. So you can contact us at
212-644-6445,
and you will get more information, and this is only for the month of July.
Yes.
And then if you missed last week's show, we had a great show with Carol Kelly. She's a change leader, transition specialist, keynote speaker, and certified professional coach. So we asked her a lot of questions about entrepreneurship and kind of what it's like to be a, some advice for like being a woman and balancing family, balancing your business. And she's a lot of great advice. She kind of talked us through our own questions. We had some of our own personal questions as well. So if you want some inspiration and you want to learn how you can accomplish your goals, there's a lot of great stuff that she told us. It was basically like a one-on-one coaching session.
Yeah, it was really cool. It was sort of like a, like what you said, but a sort of an intensive on how to be a leader in your business or even in life. Like you said, we touched on some personal things, which was really cool. I thought it was genuinely informative.
Yes, exactly.
There's no hype. There was no, like, you know, fluff. It was genuinely, genuinely an informative show. And I think you guys, you know, if you haven't listened to it already, you should go and listen to it. You'll find real value in that interview.
Yes, and it is on Blog Talk Radio and on YouTube.
Yes. All right, guys, as promised, on today's show, we have celebrity wardrobe stylist Shetanya Ami. She's friend to the show, friend to us. And, you know, every second Wednesday of the month, we do this series, and it's been phenomenal. She provides all kinds of information, you know, for people in the fashion industry, you know, specifically, for any of you new brands that are out there that need guidance, direction, or information that you would generally have to pay for. This is the time to listen. This is the time to tune in. And even, like, you know, follow us on Instagram or any of our social media forums so you can also provide whatever questions that you may have to, you know, so we can give to her and have it answered here on the show.
And plus, it's so much fun. You
right?
know, we talk about trends. We talk about a bunch of different things going on in the fashion and celeb world. So
we sure
it's
do.
It's a good time as well.
Yes, and you know, it's all girls. So, I mean, you know, well, you know, we're not going to exclude you boys. But you know, we certainly do have a good time. So, and for those of you who may not know who Shetanya is or have not seen her previously, I just want to give a briefing on, you know, who she is and what she does. So again, Shetanya is a seasoned celebrity wardrobe stylist, styling some of entertainment's biggest names from actress and socialite Karrueche Tran, singer-songwriter Chrisette Michele, and Johnny Gill, to actress Naturi Naughton, just to name a few. Plus, she's worked with major designers such as Christian Dior, Prada, Yves Saint Laurent, and has worked with huge, huge fashion shows like the Victoria's Secret Show, which we always cover here as well, and Chanel, Prada, Dior. So we're going to just jump right into it and just, you know, get to it with Shetanya.
So we are here with Shetanya, as always, our second Wednesday. And thanks so much for being on the show. We're so excited to talk about branding because we haven't talked about it yet. So today we're talking about finding savvy and creative marketing strategies to give your brand an eye-catching wow and kind of defining your brand. So do you have any tips on what a new brand should do to define their brand, you know, get their market to notice them? That's our main question, and we can just go from there and just talk about more branding advice.
Yeah, basically, for designers, if it's a designer or a stylist or a model or whatever, but mainly designers, when establishing your new brand and trying to get it out there, there's a lot of different things that you have to take into consideration. Mm-hmm. I'll go with clothing lines. If you're a dress designer and when you want to establish your whole idea and get yourself out there with branding, you need to figure out exactly who your customer is. Find out who your customer is, what clothing, say you make sundresses, and who do your sundresses cater to? Do your sundresses cater to the woman of between 25 to 40, 45, or are your dresses catered to a demographic of the young girl, preteen to maybe 20, 25, or whatever? Like, find out what that, you know, your demographic is. Once you figure out what your demographic of who your customer is, I feel like nowadays with there being so many different designers and so many different online sites, mm-hmm. where you can go buy clothes and resellers and things like that, you have to figure out a way to set your brand apart from
Absolutely.
Everyone else.
Yeah.
So the thing is, when you think about your brand, think about it as a person. Think about your dresses and your clothing line or whatever as a person. And what's the personality of that brand? Who is that girl? That girl that represents your brand. Is she fun and flirty? Is she a girl about town? Does she like to travel? You know, just create a story around who this girl is. Say her name is Casey. And what does Casey like to do? Casey likes to go on trips. Casey likes to vacation. But then Casey's also a businesswoman. So find out create a personality around your brand. And once you create the personality around your brand and basically give your brand that personality and that character and everything, then it'll help you to understand the packaging of your brand. So once you figured it out, okay, so she's that flirty girl that loves that girl about town. She's colorful. She's this, she's that. Now you need to figure out how to translate that for other people to understand. So now that means you need to go ahead and create a lookbook. If you're an online site, or if you are, if you're trying to get into stores, mm-hmm. you know, if you're trying to get your brand picked up by buyers into the department stores, if you want to get into a Macy's, a Saks, a Bloomingdale's. Another thing with trying to figure out, you know, what is your price points? Because when you go into market yourself to different stores and different locations and stuff, and you know, in different sites, say you want to be on Farfetch.com as an online, you know, a retailer, you know, what is your price points? Find out what your price points are. Are you low end? Are you high end? Are you middle? Figure that whole thing out. That way, you know, you don't waste time reaching out to retailers that is not within your
criteria, right? Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Right, that's not within your criteria. Because if, say, you want to be in Saks, but your dress, your most expensive dress and the most quality of your dress, another thing, quality. The quality of your dress, if it's only $25 and the quality isn't so great, Saks would not be the place to go. So maybe you need to look into a JCPenney's type of level, or Sears level, or Macy's level, or you know, just have your online boutique. That may be best. If you're high end and you have a price point of $1,000 and up, then think about Bergdorf. But then you have to do your research on each store. Mm-hmm. What do they look for? What's their client? Who's their customer? And then you start doing that. But before you even reach out to anybody or go to anybody, you need to have a lookbook. Because people want to see, you know, they want to see
how you're presenting.
Well, I like the logistical questions. Right. So when you said with the pricing, you have to determine your pricing. how much should you mark up your product based off of like what you paid for, you know, the clothing or what you paid for it to get manufactured? Like,
I would say your best would be to double or triple.
Okay.
Because you don't want, because first of all, you need to have, it's a lot, depending on your materials and where you're getting it done, to ship it in and, you know, the labor and things like that. And you need to be able to make enough money that way you can, say you're lucky and you get your clothing line picked up by a Macy's or a Lord & Taylor's. You need to be able to restock and have more merchandise for when pieces sell out. So you need to make enough money so that you can be able to reproduce, you know, from your sales. You want to always be a little bit above what, you know, you want to have a profit, but you want to be able to, you know, replenish your stock at the store. So, you know, mark it up a little, but don't go crazy.
Yeah. I think the general rule of thumb is like what you said. It's usually three times, but you have to really consider what your price point is to begin with.
Right.
If you're on a low end, medium end, or a high end. So for higher ends, I think the general rule of thumb is like, you know, double, two times.
Yeah, and it gives you room to have sales.
Right.
And then you have to think about the retailer. They have to get a cut.
Right.
Yeah. So it's not like you're just selling it and then you're getting your money.
Right.
The retailer has to have a cut because of the fact that they're housing your stuff.
Yeah.
They have their own marketing. So sometimes, like when you're a new designer, maybe best to go e-commerce to have a online
presence
and online test it out presence. Online. First,
right.
Yeah.
And see how many people are running to your site. So that's when a social media is your best marketing tool. And social media, Twitter, Instagram, Periscope, different things to get your brand seen. But then you want to be able to catch a person's eye. You don't want to have just a regular just dresses on a flat piece of paper or just outfits just thrown on a model. You want to create a whole feel. You want people to be able to be engaged in your site and enjoy it and be able to be like, okay, I can see myself. Say you have beach apparel. Do your shoot on a beach. That's your lookbook. Do a shoot on a beach or make a fake beach in a studio and show girls playing in beach wear with beach balls. Give a person that whole feel so they can say, I can see myself here. And make it fun. That way they're not bored by flipping through your site. You know, just make it engaging, make it colorful, but also figure out who your market is, who your client is, who your customer is. That way you know what they like. Because say your demographic is 35 to 55, you probably wouldn't want to have young 15-year-old girls with lollipops and balloons in on your site, because that woman is going to be like,
huh?
I can't see myself in that. So you have to find the muse or the model or whatever that represents what your brand is. Or that way people need to be able to visualize themselves in your clothing or visualize themselves actually living. If you do suits and stuff like that, find a woman who's more mature, that looks business-like, and have a business-like setting for your lookbook. I mean, it doesn't have to be the whole gist of your lookbook, but basically give it a storyline.
Okay.
And then go from there and then have it set up where the person can zoom in on the clothing. That way they can get the idea of the texture and see how it fits on someone. And especially if you make things for a curvier woman, have it on a curvier woman.
Yeah, exactly.
Don't have it on a size 2 because that...
I often see that.
I do that too with bathing suits. I looked up bathing suits for bigger boobs and they were all on girls with small boobs.
It makes no sense.
How am I supposed to know what it looks like?
You have to create the visual. If you make curvy clothes or curvy bras or whatever, you need someone with curve in the stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
It makes more sense.
Absolutely. And then going back to what Kaylin was saying, it's like, okay, especially if you're shopping online, if it's in e-commerce, if that's your main source of revenue and, you know, the way that you decide to retail, it's impossible for someone like me to go on and see, you know, someone that's a size zero, A cup, and I'm trying to buy a, you know, a double F. Does that exist?
It does exist. The thing is, it's true. You have to create the visual. You have to make your customer feel like, okay, I can see that. If you're catering to that type of girl, the, you know, the zeros, the 6 feet, then okay, great. Put that person there. But, you know, I know that you want it to be fashion forward or whatever, but think about, you know, your customer. Think about what, you know, you want to give that visual. Mm-hmm. If you have size, if you go up to size 12, if you start at size 12, have a size 12 model. Don't have a size 6 model. Have a size 12. I'm not saying that you should have every size that you carry, but at least give someone an idea of something to, you know, to play around with.
Okay, so in creating the lookbook, the model should be realistic and applicable to the product.
Right.
What else do you think should be, you know, because like I've seen different lookbooks, like in your opinion, what works well for, I guess maybe marketing your product to a store? What should the designer think about other than the real, you know, other than, okay, we already covered the model, like is there anything else that you think that we should like be thinking about when creating a lookbook?
Yeah, when creating a lookbook, definitely have an introduction page, because like when you're going to, if you're going to go visit stores and different places like that, or you're going to, you know, you're going to do an event and you want people to come to your fashion show, give an introduction page, give a brief synopsis of what your brand is, how it was created, who's the muse behind your brand, give the integrity of your brand, the integrity of your brand and different things like, okay, I feel like every brand now needs a niche. There needs some type of, you know, something going on, something that makes you stand apart from everyone else.
Yeah, I was going to ask about that, because it's like, if you want to do like a Coachella, like boho kind of vibe, should you pick something else? Because there's tons of brands that already do that.
Right. I mean, you can do something like that, but then what you have to have something like, okay, my fabric came from such and such country, which gives back to... Mm-hmm. You know, the people of the country, the others, or the city that my fabric came from. So we're providing different things. People want to know that they're helping out in some type of way. So, or a percentage of my sales go back to this charity, or go back to this country, or we're providing jobs for women and this. Or this company was created only by women.
Yeah.
Or these only women work for just certain little niches. Or everything is organic in my... You know, give some type of background story to your brand. Give some type of reasoning that why should I buy your sundress versus this person's sundress that's the same price. Maybe because, okay, now... You are donating 10% of your proceeds to a charity that I like. Okay, so let me go with this one. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes you don't mimic another person's brand. If you love Forever 21, don't mimic Forever 21. Make your thing a little bit different from Forever 21. You could get inspiration, but don't mimic it.
Yeah.
And then if you're a smaller brand and you're independent, don't mimic the big brands. Because sometimes a lot of people want to support the independent design or the independent store. Yeah. So, you know, don't get carried away and make people intimidated when they go on your site and want to support your brand. So just keep it, you know, at a certain level. If you keep it independent, keep it natural, keep it organic, and just keep to the integrity of your brand, then you have time to grow.
I like those words, organic and integrity.
Right. That's what every brand needs, or need to be organic, and it needs to have integrity. Mm-hmm. People don't want to feel as if they're giving their money to just anyone who doesn't care. You have to care about your customers. One thing you can also do is make sure that there's always communication on your site with the customer, one-on-one communication with us, trying to, you know, communicate back and forth with them. If they send you an email asking you a question, communicate back with them, because that
it's important. They want to feel involved.
Right. Like word of mouth, like people will say, this company has good customer service.
Exactly. I've always, one of my favorite restaurants is Houston's, now called Hillstone. So that's my favorite restaurant. I've been going to Hillstone restaurant since 1997.
Oh my God.
And the reason why I always go back is because every time I go back, ever since 1997, I've never had bad service.
Oh my God, I can't even think of one place I've ever been to that's been that consistent. That's amazing.
Consistent from 1997. The service is always impeccable.
Do you
want to
decline it?
Yeah, decline it. Where is it?
Yes,
did it stop it? It stopped, or it was keep going?
It won't stop. It can continue.
So my favorite restaurant is Hillstone, and the food has always been consistent. The service is always impeccable. I've never had a bad experience. Never, knock on wood, had a bad experience.
Do they know you? I'm like, I'm telling you, I've never been to a place that's been that consistent.
That's why I always go back, and I have so much loyalty to them because of the fact that I've never had.
Chetanya has stocks in this place. No, I'm kidding.
Yeah, she's sending me my check next week. Yeah.
Now she's telling us about it. Like, I want to go. It's like all word of mouth.
Right, and that's what you want to create. You want to create word of mouth. You want to create, you know, this is what I feel with Hillstone. I feel like they really take into consideration their hiring process. They really take into consideration their customer service. And I guess if you don't, you know, cut it, you're out of there.
Yeah,
because the waitresses and the waiters are always top notch. Mm-hmm. The food, top notch. I've never had an issue.
Oh my gosh.
From 1997. And that's what you want. You want people to know that this company is known for great customer service, great products. If the customer orders something and it's not of good quality, say, okay, no problem, send it back. Yeah. You know, we'll send you something new. Don't sit there and fight them and nitpick with them, because at the end of the day, people remember, okay, they took care of me. Mm-hmm. They looked out for me. A great movie to watch. I know. Okay.
We talking about movies a lot.
I know.
Ask Chetanya.
You know what? Yeah. I always reference movies and cartoons and everything. But this is like a great movie to watch for anyone who's developing a company, a brand. It's called The Intern with Robert De Niro.
Oh, that's a great movie.
Listen, yes. Wait. Before we even move further, I'm not a movie person.
Have you seen this one?
I saw it yesterday for the first time.
Yeah, it's so good.
It was so inspiring.
Yes.
I mean, you know, I would be that old person.
Yeah.
To go back
to work just to have something to do.
Yeah, I would totally be like, and the fact that, I mean, this is so off topic, but the fact that he
always go off topic.
I know, this is terrible. He was so, I mean, it's not a real person, but
the character,
was so humble and just so like.
Robert De Niro was an amazing, I love you.
Yeah. Great actor.
Yes.
But just even the storyline. I mean, and I agree. Just because I saw it yesterday, I have to agree. It's a great reference to creating a brand.
Right. Because she was very hands-on. Yeah. She didn't want to bother the integrity of her business. She, you know, she took out time to order products to see how they were being packaged.
Right.
And then she went and she spoke with her staff and said, this is how it's supposed to be. You have to be hands-on.
Yeah.
And you have to, just like her customers were so happy.
Yeah.
You know, when they messed up the dresses, she didn't fight with the people. She just sent them the dresses.
Yeah.
She took care of it. You know, because you might look at it like, oh my God, I just lost $50. But no, mm-hmm. you didn't lose $50 because that person will always come back and spend way more.
I think
that, tell people about it.
Yeah. And I think in the movie, she does that. Like towards the end, she does. And so, yeah, that's a great lesson learned.
Yeah. So that's a great movie to watch if you're a designer and you want to start your brand or whatever. That's a great movie to watch because when I watched it.
Yeah, I'm sorry. They're just going on in 20 minutes.
Okay.
Go ahead. I have another question after you're done. Okay. So, you know, with social media now, people can comment on customer service and things like that. But before, word of mouth was kind of what got brands going.
Yeah.
So is social media starting to outweigh word of mouth, you think, about brands? If you look at branding.
I think
so. I'm not sure, like, what's more powerful.
I kind of do because the thing about it is Yelp is huge. Some people, I know some people that they will not go anywhere unless they look at Yelp. And you know, but you know, word of mouth is still good because, you know, as a friend, if you're hearing it from a friend, you're like, okay, I can trust my friend.
Right.
Sometimes you go through reviews and sometimes you still have to go, I'm like this, especially like if it's a movie or something and I see bad reviews, that doesn't 86 my opinion on it. I'm like, you know, I have to go see it myself because I went to see some movies and people were saying, oh, this is a horrible movie.
And you enjoyed it.
And I loved the movie. Yeah. So it's like sometimes you can trust the reviews, but you never know. Maybe that if they say, oh, it's too expensive, maybe that person's cheap. You don't know.
That's true.
Then it was like, oh, it was horrible service. Maybe that person's annoying. You don't know what type of person that person, you don't know that person's personality. Maybe that person is one of those people that's hard to please, and the people went above and beyond and tried to please them, and they just still wasn't happy. Most people only do reviews when they're mad. So
I was waiting for you to finish because I wanted to, because you know, as a business owner, I constantly, like, you know, I'm constantly trying to get customers to go on Yelp and place reviews. And no matter how many emails I'll send, they'll say, oh my God, we loved you. Okay, great.
Can you say that?
We have a limited amount of reviews on there because it's like pulling teeth. Right. It's not until, you know, not always, but for the most part, I feel like it's not until there's like a situation, not a good one.
That's when people want to go and stuff. Oh, they were this, and they were that, and they were no. Stay off of Yelp when you mad. If you was cheap, that's on you. It's like, you know, tell the whole story. Don't just give your part of the story. Just say that you did this and they did that and wah, wah, wah. No.
Yeah.
When you go somewhere and you had great service, go on Yelp and talk about your great service. Go on whatever, on the website, talk about your great service. I went to a hotel one time. It was a Marriott. Like, I like to stay at the Marriott or the Starwoods properties because I know I'm a big germaphobe. So I need it to be clean, and it has to have 4 to 5 stars before I go stay there because I'm funny.
Listen, I'm with you on that.
I'm funny. But I went to this, I think it was a Fairfield, or it was a Marriott property in Atlanta, Georgia. And I swear this had to be the cleanest hotel I've ever stayed at. And the people, they were cleaning the rooms, and it took maybe half an hour to clean it. But I see they got to down to every corner, and I had to tell the lady, like, this is the cleanest hotel I've ever stayed at. And you guys are so sweet and nice. And I had to go online and say, this was the cleanest, because people don't do that.
Yeah.
They only go.
And I do that now too, because because I know how important it is. Right. No, it's really good that you did that.
Right. So make sure that people have something positive to go back and say about your brand. And that's my suggestion.
Okay, guys. So we're going to take a quick break. And you know what? We will continue this conversation and, I guess, expand on it on the next Ask Chatanya. So make sure you stay tuned for that one. It'll be next month, the second Wednesday of every month.
And send some questions in if you have anything that you want her to touch upon further, or just any questions related to this or related to anything, fashion, branding.
Yeah. Anything, like accessories. Casey knows my accessories, if handbags, whatever it is that you're trying to brand yourself, if you're a model, you are your brand.
Yeah.
You have to brand yourself. You have to package yourself as a product.
Make sure you put a bow on it too.
Because I swear I did a casting and today people did not package themselves.
Question.
Oh, we have a question.
Someone says, how do I brand watches?
Oh.
Yeah. Well, okay, so what type of, the same thing. How do you brand your watches? You make sure you get a collection of pictures, do a photo shoot. I'm sure you've seen Rolex ads and Gucci ads, watch ads. Do a photo shoot, get your lookbooks together. If you have samples of your watches, reach out to editors, stylists, and get it placed into magazines. Try to figure out a way to get, that's free marketing. If you can reach out to editors, stylists, different outlets like that, and get your watches seen by the masses in a magazine, that's free advertisement in a magazine. Get them on a celebrity, that way they can promote it. That's a good way to, you know, get it out there. But definitely create a lookbook as well. Create a lookbook, have, you know, do a photo shoot with people wearing your watches. Or what are your watches? Is it more based on to go with a business suit? Is it more casual?
Right, I was just gonna say, what's the inspiration?
Right.
Yeah, what's the inspiration behind the watch? Is it a high end? First you have to determine those things, and then you can do all those.
Right, what's your price points? What, you know, what's your customer? What kind of clothes go with your watches?
Yeah.
And then that's what you do, you go from there.
So is that the?
Yeah, they said thank you.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. If there is, you know, if there's anything else additionally you want to know, you can ping Shatanya on Shatanya Ami, Instagram, Facebook. I believe all of your social media is the same thing, right? Shatanya Ami.
Right.
And you can also ping us on any one of our forums, which is eClad anything, eClad event venue, eClad chat, or even eClad. We have so many, so you choose. And we will make sure to answer them on each show. So, you know, don't be silent. Let us know what your questions are, and we will be sure to answer them as, you know, best that we know how.
Right. And then you give us more information about your watches, or you can email me, you can find my information. Give us more information, that way I can give you more in-depth ideas of how you can brand your watches, because everything has its different way to be branded and to be packaged.
Right.
So, you know, people need watches.
Okay, guys, so that completes this episode of Ask Shatanya. We will be back again second Wednesday of every month. And you know what? We'll try to be good about posting in advance what we're talking about. I know we didn't do it this time, but we will be sure to do it the very next time. And again, make sure that you ping Shatanya on Shatanya Ami. Oh my gosh. Say that 500 times. Five times. Two times. Okay. Shatanya Ami on Instagram,
Twitter,
Periscope, as you can see, Facebook. You know, it's consistent all the way through. Right. And again, that's at Shatanya Ami. Okay, guys, thank you. And we will, what are we doing next, Kaylin?
The designer feature.
Designer feature.
Events and girl talk after this break.
That's right. We'll be back.
eClad is a boutique for luxurious handmade goods. From jewels to leather to fashion accessories, our merchandise is 95% handcrafted, made from the finest of materials from across the globe. Exceptional and brilliant quality is the absolute standard here at eClad. The majority of the items we carry are one of a kind and completely unique, with only a limited number ever produced. Our collection is diverse, offering you a plethora of accoutrements to select from. The decor of our boutique is both contemporary and elegant, a unique fusion of an exclusive and indulgent shopping experience coupled with New York's social scene and lifestyle. We invite you to come experience our 57th Street Oasis. But if you're not in New York, just head over to eclad.com for your one-of-a-kind, beautiful, artistic find. And remember, love life and wear it well.
So we are back with the designer feature of the day, which is the Layers of Pearl Necklace. And Casey has worn it throughout the show. It's super fun. It is basically layers of lavender and gray. What color did you say?
So
gray doesn't sound fancy.
No, it doesn't, but it looks fancy. So, so there's like shades of lavender, there's like some shades of gray, and then even like a lighter purplish kind of color. And it's like, it gives a great mix of, you know, different pearls for a sort of luxury.
It's like great for if you want like a nice full, fun neck, very noticeable, and looks great with anything.
Yeah.
So I think it's a great piece if you wanted to get it at eclad.com. And it's 13 inches in length, so a nice drapery look, and perfect for all seasons, all times of day.
Yeah, everyone should have, I forget who, we had a guest here one time, and they were like, everyone should
Carol,
have a
pearl. Carol, I'm sure from last week, she said every woman needs some pearls.
Here you go.
These are pearls times 10, or 20, I don't know how many strands are, but there are a lot of pearls. So.
Yeah, for sure, there are, but you know what, too, it really makes a bold statement, and they're not, they look heavy, but it's really not heavy. And what I like about these in particular is that I'm kind of a boobie-ish kind of girl. And, you know, so I don't generally wear heavy chain, thick chains.
Yeah.
Because I feel like it brings too much attention to the area that I want to camouflage. But because of the way that this drapes and it falls, it just kind of it doesn't accentuate.
Yes, it drapes camouflage. Very nicely.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So it's a great piece.
Yes, it's one of our more affordable pieces as
and
well.
It is,
so
yes.
If you are looking for a more budgeted piece but is also beautiful, then you should get this at eclad.com.
You should. And everything else. Okay, guys, so we're going to jump right into today's news. And so the American Apparel and Footwear Association expressed deep disappointment with President Obama's decision to proclaim very limited duty-free treatment for travel goods, including luggage, handbags, backpacks, tote bags, etc., under the generalized system of preferences, or the GSP program. So the generalized system of preference, or the GSP program, it sort of provides opportunities for third world or even fourth world countries, if there's such a thing, to trade with the United States. And so they came up with the GSP basically allows them to sell to the manufacturers here or retailers as well. So GSP is the largest and oldest U.S. trade preference program. Established by the Trade Act of 1974, GSP promotes economic development by eliminating duties on up to 5,000 types of products when imported from one of the 122 designated beneficiary countries and territories. So basically, the decision that Obama has made what this means for travel goods is that there's less of an opportunity for this to happen because he placed a halt on this, I guess, I don't think it's a bill, but it's sort of like an act. Okay. Because he placed a halt on it, it's kind of putting a damper on the way that we can do trades or, make money. And so what I guess the industry was hoping for is that this bill or this act would pass so that things would be a little bit more affordable.
Yeah, and American Apparel likes to be very ethical.
Right.
So, of course, they would be interested in this passing as well.
Exactly. So, after an extensive public review process, the U.S. government heard overwhelming support for adding travel goods, and this is specific to travel goods, to the GSP program. Every witness who testified praised the potential for the addition of travel goods to GSP while urging that the Obama administration approve the addition of all trade or travel trade goods for all GSP countries. So basically I know it sounds really technical to people who are listening, and I just really want them to understand. It's like, so we are allowed to trade. We're trading now, basically, through the GSP with third world and fourth world countries. But the one area that we don't have approval for it for goods or leather goods or handbags or things like that. There's sort of a process that we have to kind of go through to be able to do that. But adding this to the GSP makes things a little bit more seamless. And it makes things more affordable.
Yeah.
And then it also provides more jobs, because if things are more affordable, then people will buy, and then that creates new jobs, and then the economy goes up, that kind of thing.
So it's not happening now.
It is going to happen, but I don't know, he hasn't really said why he's placed a hold on this.
Okay.
But we don't know exactly when it will be happening.
Okay, so we'll also keep everyone updated when that does go through. Also in the news, it's nearly a month since its announcement, but Facebook made a significant change to news feeds. And now it's favoring posts shared by friends and family compared to brands and different businesses, which is disappointing for businesses looking to advertise through Facebook. But I mean, if you don't like the brands, then you like the brands, but you want to see your friends' stuff. It depends.
It's bittersweet because it's like, for me on a personal on a personal level, I hate to see all these business things coming through my feed all the time. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes you just don't want to see all these advertisements. But then from a business perspective, it's like, you know, that's how my brand or your brand or brands in general are seen.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So now it's going to be, you're going to see mostly stories shared by your friends.
Yeah.
Compared to stories from different brands. And that doesn't mean there's going to be a decrease in engagement, though. So most of the publishers will probably have to create content that's like more shareable, which makes sense. Now Facebook, everyone's sharing videos, articles. So it makes sense, but...
makes our work harder.
Yeah, exactly. But for some people, it would be good because they're prioritizing your friends' content. So that will interest some people. For brands, not so much, but...
I think that, you know, for brands, it just means that whatever content that we're putting out there, it just has to be super interesting. Because now the competition has been, like, they upped the ante, basically. And so if your content is not preferable over the other content, then no one's going to share it.
Yeah,
and then
exactly. That
no one's going to see it. So it's bittersweet.
Yeah. So now for events, the Young Event Professionals are having their third annual Performing Arts Showcase. We touched on this in a previous show.
We did.
But we did not know the location at that time. They hadn't announced it yet. So now they finally announced it. It's going to be at the Novotel Hotel in Times Square. And it's on July 27th this year. $20 for entry, which isn't too bad. And you can go to eventbrite.com to get those tickets. So it's specifically for the event industry, which is awesome since we cover that all the time. And you can also showcase your talents because there are performance slots available for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And we were talking about it last time. They have crazy stuff like fire dancing and pole jump. I don't sword swallowing.
And then they have, like, I guess, you know, known acts that are here in New York City.
Yes.
So, and it's a great way to showcase, you know, your skill or your business or your brand if you are in that.
Exactly. And network at the same time. It's like networking over a fun thing. Plus, if you feel pressure while you network, this is pretty easy because you can just comment on all the cool stuff that's going on.
Yeah. And it's an affordable price.
Exactly.
How can you beat that?
For more information, you can head to their Eventbrite page. And I'm sure if you just type in Young Event Professionals, it'll come up. Yes.
Okay, guys. So we're going to jump right into Girl Talk. Okay, guys, so we are back with this episode of Girl Talk. I am Casey Benet.
I'm Kaylin Burke.
I'm Arafili Moraiti.
And I'm Sarah McFull.
Okay, but before we even get into the topic, I just have to, you know, talk to Arafili about this last name of hers. We talked about it, I think, last episode, but boy, is that a difficult name. Wait, say it one more time.
I say it with an accent, which makes it so much worse. I'll say it like the way Americans say it, which is Moraiti. But
okay.
It's like Moraiti.
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 Yeah. I won't embarrass myself. Okay, so Sarah has our topic for today. So she's going to kind of lead the conversation. So what are we talking?
So today we're keeping things light. I'm talking about Taylor Swift's relationship with Tom Hiddleston.
Okay, who is Todd Hiddleston?
Okay, his name's Tom, first
of all. He's like the hottest guy ever.
Okay, he's not hot at all.
Super hot. We have 2 months for hot.
He is not hot.
Girlfight?
So he's
Loki and Thor.
He's who?
Loki and Thor. Have you seen
the
Thor?
The evil guy.
Yeah. The long, dark, flowing hair.
Okay, so he looks like...
Yes, I know who Loki...
You do?
No.
Oh.
I think a lot of, like, people find him attractive because he looks like a prince or something.
Oh. What is a prince?
Oh, why is that about?
He's like, have you seen Midnight in Paris?
No.
Oh, he plays F. Scott Fitzgerald, who's, like, the best writer. He's super hot in that also.
Apparently, I don't get out much.
But anyway... He's kind of famous now. He's old.
So he wasn't famous before?
Well, no, he was a bit famous, like, but just, like, not really.
So Taylor Swift has given him...
Yeah. Oh,
so basically what happened is that, like, they've been, like, pictured together and everyone's like, that's really weird that they're going out. He's a lot older than her and he's like...
By how much?
He's 35. She's 26.
It's not that bad.
Yeah, but, like, people are just like, oh, why is he going out with her?
Who should she go out with?
Not him. Stay away from
him.
Yeah.
So basically, they were like, was going out with Calvin Harris like recently.
So who's Calvin?
Calvin Harris is a DJ. He's at like a house DJ.
Okay. Yeah. Let's go past that.
Mm-hmm. And they broke up really recently, and then she was sitting picture with him on the beach, like kissing him on the beach. This Tom Hiddleston guy, and people are like, oh, that's very, like, you know, weird how public display of affection is. And then they were seen again somewhere at some beach, like, and he was wearing an I Heart Taylor Swift t-shirt, and they're in the water together, and now people are starting to say that it's a publicity stunt and they're not really together and it's to like improve both of their careers, and like paparazzi are following them. They're also making, it's part of a music video that they're making as well, and there's been loads of controversy.
Well, not to cut you off, what I want to know is, where can I get I Love Casey shirt?
You can make it.
anyway, go ahead. I need to make my husband wear it, but anyway, go ahead.
I don't think he's gonna wear it.
I know. None of this is confirmed. It's just that people
speculation.
Are, yeah.
And we'll say that.
Yes. Because I mean, it doesn't, I mean, I'm not one to judge of, like, I never was about Taylor Swift like dating a lot of people. Like, she's a 20-something girl. Like, she can date a lot of people. The problem is she's a public figure, so yeah, like, of course, paparazzi's all over her. The problem is she broke up with, like, Calvin Harris, like, and a week later it was with Tom, and then it was super public, like, super, super public. And, like, the whole t-shirt situation, he has, like, a tattoo of her, not a permanent tattoo, but still, it's just kind of like this, like, 35-year-old man with a tattoo of her and the t-shirt. It's just kind of a lot, and she met his parents, like, 3 days after these photos got out, and it's like, wait, you're moving so fast.
Yeah.
So it is kind of suspicious.
Yeah. I say, listen,
very, very good.
If you want to boink Tom today, and you want to boink, who was the other one?
No, but it's not about the fact that I don't agree with, like, slut shaming or saying that she shouldn't.
No, I know. Oh, no, no slut shaming here. Well, we don't do that here.
I'm just saying that she seems like she's a very, very good businesswoman. Like, she, you know, like, it all, everything seems so staged in the way she, like, conducts her relationships.
But isn't that how we live life now? I mean, isn't that Kim Kardashian? And, like,
yeah, but people don't equate them in the same.
Yeah.
Like, people hold her up on a very high pedestal of being this, like, great role model. I don't think she's a great role model, really.
I don't think so either.
Like, her and her, like, girl army of models that she's,
okay,
like.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, too. I think it was a music video, maybe, because if you look at her 4th of July party, they're all wearing, like, she has, like, Gigi over, Kara, Carly, like, all the models. And they're all wearing, matching bathing suits. Tom was also there.
Yeah.
And it's the same as her other video where all her friends are in it.
So maybe the media's making a big deal.
She had a big, like, bouncy, like, slip and slide in her yard. Mm. So I think it could be a video.
I read an article about it, actually, where they were saying how she's not actually, like, she kind of isn't really good for feminism because, like, her whole thing of, like, oh, I have this girl army and we're best friends. It's just, like, emanating, like, high school. Like,
but here's the thing. Her girl army doesn't reflect.
They're all models, like.
Anyone that I know.
Yeah. She's always speaking about, like, feminism and girl power, but, like, you see all these friends and it's like they're like basically the same model person.
With different color hair.
Yeah. No, they're all blonde. I don't know if you've noticed.
Different shades, I mean. Yeah. Different shades of blonde.
Selena Gomez is the most, like, ethnic person she has in her crew. And it's just kind of like, well, I mean, I'm not going to tell you to be friends with, like, more diverse people, but it's like, are you really a role model to, like, small children that don't look like that and have your, like, girl posse of, like, perfect...
But who's dubbing her a role model? I'm just...
Like, everyone in the world.
Yeah.
Like,
except for me.
I don't. Definitely not. Like, I don't. There's something I just don't like about her. Music is very, very catchy, but...
Oh,
yes.
Yeah.
Her as a person, I don't know.
I like her, but she's dating Tom Hiddleston. No more. I don't
That's
like...
That's a no.
I just think it's... I don't know. People are so obsessed with, like...
I think people need to be obsessed with their own lives. I barely know this girl, so I'm not going to comment on her personal life. I personally think that if I was 20-something and I can boink everyone, I sure would. Maybe I wouldn't boink everyone, but, you know, I would...
Steph Curry.
I would surely just live life, love it. I didn't do that in my 20s because... You know, unfortunately, or fortunately, however you want to look at it, I was a teenage mom, and so I was raising a child, and so my life was very reserved. But if I could do it all over again, I would boink Peter, Charles, and Tom.
Charles.
All in the same day.
I don't know if I'm Peter or Charles, but...
I don't think she should be slut shamed at all. I don't think it's that. I think more to do with, like, she's very, very carefully crafted an image for herself in the media that I think is kind of, like, dangerous because it's not real.
And so it's hard to keep up
with.
People,
like, look up to her, but it's all very, like, false.
People are, like, commenting on this. Like, I saw Dr. Drew, he commented on, like, her and Tom Hiddleston and said she had a love addiction. And
okay, that's a bit stupid. Right. No. Like, whatever about like who she wants to date, that's her own business, yeah. Blah blah blah. I just think that her, the way she is in the media, it's just everything's so constructed, like her friendships are very strategic. Mm-hmm. So I think that this whole relationship could be very strategic.
Yeah, I hope that's what it is.
Yeah. Even like the July thing that she was doing, I saw an article on BuzzFeed that was like comparing the photos that she posted on social media of like her last 4th of July and this one. And like last one, it was like they were all like strategically like Polaroid, like like cool hipster pics, and this now we're like matching and like super glam photos. And it's like she has like a whole vibe, like no one goes to like 4th of July parties and it's like we're only taking Polaroid pictures and we're only like dressing
well in New York.
You have to wear the same thing.
Yeah, you have to wear the same and have this like same like agenda going to this party. Like this is obviously like
strategic. I did that.
Like,
you said, I did that in junior high school.
This is what I mean. Like we find it hilarious and like we wouldn't be like, you know, affected by it because like we are adults. But like, you know, there's young kids looking up to her.
Oh,
and
yeah,
like,
that's true.
You know, like, oh, like, that's a lot of pressure to be looking up and be like, oh, that's the ideal. Yeah. To, like, at an expensive 4th of the July party with a bunch of models. Like, I don't think that, like, you know, it's very realistic. Yeah. But then she says she's so down to earth and she's this and she's that. But I don't really think that she is.
Wait,
so
she's
sorry,
so,
Taylor
Swift. Who's saying she's down to earth? She's saying about herself she's down to earth. I love that. I'm just,
she's
I am
trying to
cool.
promote that.
Yeah,
I kind of gives off that. I don't know. Like it's just like she is. Like it's not like Kim Kardashian. Like where she get like openly, she's given a lot of negative attention. But Taylor Swift is like a lot of positive attention, a lot for the way she's a role model and this and that. And I think that is partly to do with the fact that she's like a skinny little white girl from the country,
starting out doing country music.
Yeah, so like you know, whereas like.
Isn't
bad,
she, wasn't she like a contestant on, this is how much I know, wasn't she a contestant on American Idol? Or,
no.
Oh.
Not at all. She just came up like through Nashville, basically.
Yeah, she started out as a country singer.
Yeah.
What did she sing?
Country songs.
Alright.
Do you have drops on my guitar?
No.
Not gonna sing it.
Okay. I still don't know.
I'm trying to say I'm like, no.
Did she change her image since, like, she tried to be a bit more, like, bad girl?
Upscale, pop, kind of, like.
Here's the problem, for me, anyway, you know, in terms of Taylor Swift. Well, actually, there's no problem, because I don't know her personally. I don't know anything about her other than, you know, what's portrayed out there. But what I find really disturbing in our society is this constant push of making everyone feel like they should fit in this mold that just, I mean, I don't want to be stick figured. I kind of like my curves. Okay, I'm a little heavy. I'm working on it. I wasn't always, but you know, I don't want to fit in that mold. I want to fit in my mold and I want children and, you know, everyone else to feel comfortable to fit in whatever mold they want to be in, whether it's no mold or a mold. You know? Yeah. We should not be like Taylor Swift.
Like, even her friends, people want their friends to be like her friends.
That's what's so hypocritical about her is that she promotes this, and she's saying things like, oh, like, be yourself, never change who you are, and all of that, and like, love your body and love yourself. And she said these things before. But, like, the image that she's showing the world is, like, her with her, like, model girl posses and, like, it's just hypocritical of her.
Superficial.
Yeah.
It's superficial.
Very.
Okay, so, let us know if you agree. I mean, you may not agree, you know, and I hope we have not offended any Taylor Swift fans. And we hope that we did not offend you, Taylor Swift. Hope you're watching, though. Okay, so this concludes this this topic for our Girl Talk, and be sure to tune in next week for our show with China Love. She is a health food specialist, I guess. So she makes all these amazing dishes based on you know, I guess whatever your health issues maybe, or maybe no health issues, but anyway, we'll get into that next show. And I just want to thank you guys for watching. Taylor Swift, thank you for watching. And so that's it for us tonight. Remember guys, love life and wear it well. We'll see you next time.
Engage in style and perform in elegance at eClad's Hidden Gem Gallery and Event Space. eClad's Hidden Gem is an 1,100 square foot venue in Manhattan's premier Midtown East neighborhood that blends both contemporary style and elegance to create a sophisticated events venue. eClad's Hidden Gem provides an intimate, luxurious, and exquisite setting. It hosts everything from cocktail receptions, bridal showers and parties, to pop-up shops and product launches, art shows, photo and video shoots, and corporate style conferences, seminars, and presentations at an affordable price. eClad's Hidden Gem is located at 122 East 57th Street, New York City, 10022. If you're looking for a beautiful yet affordable venue for hire, then eClad's Hidden Gem is your venue of choice. Head over to y-cladshiddengem.com, email us at hiddengem@y-clad.com, or simply give us a call at 212-644-6445 and rent eClad's Hidden Gem today. Make it what you want. eClad's Hidden Gem.